Welcome to the Kind to Your Mind podcast, brought to you by local councils and the NHS in Cheshire and Merseyside. As we head through the COVID-19 pandemic, this podcast aims to provide some simple and practical advice to help you look after your mental and physical well-being, and in this episode, also focusing on men's mental health too. Joining me today is a man who knows all about the importance of both mental resilience and physical fitness. Andy Cole is one of England's most successful footballers. As a striker for Manchester United and Newcastle United, among others, as well as England, he's won every trophy there is to be won in the English game and remains the third highest goalscorer in Premier League history. In recent times, though, his health has been his biggest battle, receiving a kidney transplant that affected him mentally and physically. And now, like over a million people, is being shielded in lockdown due to his condition. Welcome to the Kind to Your Mind podcast, Andrew Cole.
Hi.
I'm just wondering if we can start to sort of get your story as to where you're at the moment and what's happened with you over the last 5 years.
The last 5 years, I would say, have been the toughest 5 years of my life. I think going through the illness and going through the mental part of it, and then on the flip side of that, not having the support that I believe was the right support for me at that time. You know, it just snowballed into an effect of fighting myself to a certain extent, because I know what I wanted from myself, but I knew what I couldn't actually give it to myself, physically or mentally. And then I just became into a bit of a rut, trying to find myself getting out of the rut I've made for myself. You're trying to do one thing and the other thing counteracts the thing that you're trying to do. It became a little bit tough.
And when we're talking about the illness, you've had a kidney transplant, and that was as a result of a virus in the first stage.
Yeah. I mean, I forgot about that. I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, we're in the pandemic with this virus, and I forgot, Jesus, that's how your kidney problem started, via a virus. That's the kind of things I get wrapped up in, you know. I try not to remember how it all started, you know, and the position I find myself in. But yeah, they said my virus was picked up, contracted, airborne virus. And when they try to break it down to me, my specialist tried to break it down to me. He said, you know, we catch viruses every day, but our body's usually strong enough to fight everything off. Unfortunately for me, at this stage, when I caught this virus, you know, for some reason it attacked my kidney. I remember I was flying back from Vietnam. And I got back, I think it was about a Wednesday, and I just felt really tired. So I thought, nothing of it. I thought, it's got to be a bit of jet lag or whatever. Typical man, typical sporting background, cut the paracetamols, go to sleep, crack on for the next day. Unfortunately, I tried to do that for about three days. I tried to do that. And I finally got my old club doctor to come and see me, Mike Stone at Manchester United. And he popped round and he ran a few tests on me. And then said to me, okay, I'll speak to you tomorrow. Fortunately for me, Mike spoke to the private hospital, which was only about half an hour from where I was, to run some tests on the Saturday. He phoned me first thing Monday morning and said to me, you need to get yourself to the hospital. They're seeing a marker on your kidney, so get yourself in. And I was flippant. I was very, very flippant. You know, like I said, I'm a typical man. When I went into the hospital, and the specialist was basically waiting for me at the door. And I walked in. I remember him saying to me, how did you get in? So I said, well, what do you think? I drove. And I thought, what a stupid question to be asking. And then he started mentioning that he wanted to give me a biopsy. I remember him saying to him, look, I've got no time. I've got things to do. And I need to get them done. So how long we're going to be here? And he said, no, you won't be here too long. But in the back of his mind, he already knows what's going on. So sure. I'm pestering him to get out of the hospital because I don't like hospitals. I've never liked hospitals. I'm pestering him to get out as quick as I can. Do the biopsy, and then he starts asking me about symptoms. I said, I've got no symptoms, Mike. Yeah, I've got no symptoms. I need a go. And about half an hour after he asked me about the symptoms, I had every single symptom that he asked me about going on. It became known that I had a problem with my kidney.
Wow, so life really changed very quickly for you.
Yeah, very, very quickly, considering I've made my mind that I refused to go to hospital. I was very adamant that there was nothing wrong with me from minute one. As it turned out, you know, there was quite a bit going on.
And you mentioned in there that, you know, you're a typical man, typical sporting background, and that is probably the biggest point of all this, isn't it? That men do have a reluctance to speak out or seek help when they need it.
Yes, I'm not going to say it's bravado. It's not bravado. It's being a man. It is being a man that, you know, if you're ill or you feel ill, it's like, oh, I'm not too fussed about this. What I'll do, I'll go to bed a little bit earlier, or I'll take a couple of paracetamols, or I drink more water, or whatever. We never actually want to face up to what the possibilities of it could be. And yeah, and I was caught in that. I used to do exactly the same thing when I was a player. You know, if I didn't feel too well, I'd just get on with it. You know what I mean? I'll get through today or whatever. And then I used to pick up a few little illnesses that way as well, by not talking about it, and end up with bronchitis, pneumonia, and all those kind of things. So when it did happen, like I said, it's just typical man. To be honest, I find it difficult to come out of now. I really do, you know. If I have any twinges, like, oh, just get on with it, crack on, what's wrong with you? Man up, you know. You'll be able to deal with it.
And that's even despite what you've gone through. You're still willing to battle on.
I always say I don't want to try and burden people if I have a problem or whatever. Because I always feel like, you know, I know what my illness is, but I don't want to be taking up people's time with my illness. I know how severe it is. I know some days are better than others. Up until Boxing Day last year, you know, I felt ill again. And I was rushed into the hospital and a running test, and then, you know, the run test on me regarding my liver cancer. And I'm saying to myself, oh, man, you know, it is what it is. You know, if that is the case, you have to deal with that as well. You know, because I've actually got to that stage that I know what I've got to live with. I know how difficult it's going to be. So whatever comes, I'll have to deal with that to the best of my ability as well.
Is the whole that I'm okay thing a man thing generally, or is that more from your influence of being a sportsman and needing to battle on and needing to carry on? Which side is that, or does it apply to everybody?
I think it's a bit of both, me personally. I really do. I think it's a case of, you know, the men that I've grown up with or around, you know, I've only seen them battle on. I mean, it's like my dad. My dad was ill, he'd still get up and go to work or whatever. Brother the same. Every dominant man I've been around, I've never seen like, oh, take the day off work or being ill or whatever. Going into the football environment, you know, if you don't feel too well, 9 times out of 10, you still get on with it, get on with the day, or sweat it out or whatever. So that's the kind of background I've been around. So it's difficult to try and break that mold if that's all you've known. I think I've touched on it there. For me to sit down and talk about how I feel, I mean, I don't feel too well today or whatever, it's not to be spoken about. It's just get on with it. You know, there's people worse off than you. Just try and get through the day.
You're listening to the Kind to Your Mind podcast. I'm Ian Brannan, and our guest on the podcast is former footballer for Manchester United, Newcastle United, and a number of others as well, Andy Cole. And we're talking particularly about men's mental health and physical well-being. Andrew, going back to your footballing days, you played in a team under Sir Alex Ferguson and some legends of the English game, of which you are one of them. What did that teach you about mental resilience, particularly from Sir Alex? Because his teams are all about bouncing back from defeats or setbacks. And that is something people have to face day by day, particularly in lockdown. Do you have anything from those times and those experiences you take into the everyday world?
You just never give up in football until you always go to the last minute, you know, the last second. It's never over until the referee blows his whistle. In the way I try to do things, you know, just keep going, keep pushing. Try as hard as you can and try your best not to give up. You know, I'm not a quitter, but some days, you know, you turn around and say to yourself, man, today's one of those days when you could turn around and say to yourself, yeah, I could quit, you know. But I've always been an individual who's always tried to push himself to the peak, and I want to push as hard as I can do. So playing with Sir Alex Ferguson as my manager and playing with so many players with that kind of mentality, that only makes your mentality stronger in whatever you try to do.
And being a footballer of the level that you were at, it must also be fairly difficult mentally to handle the sort of pressures that you're under, both expectation from fans, and I'm thinking particularly the media as well, because not everybody goes to work and has everything that they've done at work that day analysed by the national press.
Yeah, 100%. I look at myself and I hate failure in me personally. You know, I never want to fail myself, because my battle's against me. It's not against anybody else. What the media or Joe Public says, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, it doesn't hurt, because we're all humans and certain things do hurt you. But what you expect from yourself and how you try and gear yourself up, the mental battle ends with you and starts with you. You know, and that's the way I've always perceived things. So yeah, I mean, certain things that I said, of course they're gonna hurt you. Mentally, you have to come over it, you know, because if you're gonna become an elite sportsman or a woman, you know, you've got to expect those kind of knocks that you're going to pick up over the due course of whatever your career is going to be.
In this Kind to Your Mind podcast, as well as men's mental health, we also want to focus on physical well-being as well. The two really are linked, aren't they? How important is physical activity to you for keeping your morale strong?
That's paramount. I've realised that when I was when I first went down with a kidney problem, when I'd retired for some time, and being able to get out, go to the gym, you know, play a little bit of football or whatever, maybe go for a run or whatever, that always made me feel a little bit better than staying indoors. So once I went down the illness, and it was difficult, real, real difficult, you know, to see me gain all the weight via water retention and things like that play with your mind, because I've never been an individual who's put on a lot of weight. So watching my weight balloon to what it was, mentally that was starting to torture me, because I kept saying to myself, oh my God, come on. I've got all this weight you've got, and you've got to lose this weight. Not been saying to myself, you know, Andrew, you're actually ill, by the way. Don't worry about the weight. I'm like saying to myself, now, nah, come on, come on. I didn't want to be lying about all day, you know, even knowing that it's a fatigue illness. That's what you have to do. You have to rest, because your body's telling you, I can't do it. I'm still trying to push my body to the limit, whereby my body's saying, I can't do it anymore. But that's what happens. That's what happens when you've got that mentality of, come on. Yeah, it has to be done. So not being able to do things, that plays a big part with you mentally as well. Like I said, being a sport ex-sportsman, it plays a massive part mentally to be able to go out there and do something that makes you feel better, knowing that, oh, at the time it feels hard, but after you finish it, oh man, that makes you feel so much better. So I've gone through and I continue to go through all those trials and tribulations, and some days are better than others.
And you are one of the people who are being shielded because of your illness. You're in the vulnerable group, so you're not able to get out and about and even speak to anybody face to face. And you're, I think, are you on your own where you are now? So you're finding things a little bit more difficult than an average day through this time.
Yeah, I think that for me has been the real difficult thing, not being able to be with people face to face. You know, having a laugh and joke and all those kind of things. Because ultimately, that's what life's about. You know, even more so than me. I said to myself when I was coming through this issue, but I want to be able to get out there more now. Tomorrow's not a given. So whatever you try and do today, you try and live it to the max, and then whatever tomorrow brings, it brings. So when I found myself in this situation, the first couple of weeks was, okay, not a problem. After that, you start going up the walls a little bit because you can't do what you want to do. You know, you're restricted to doing things that obviously nothing the government telling you to do for the best of your health. And it does play tricks with you, because you're saying to yourself, right, I actually do feel okay, you know, and I actually do want to try and do things. But, you know, the pandemic we find ourselves in, you know, is going to, if I'm fortunate enough to contract this virus, you know, it could set me back a long, long way.
Are you finding that you're a little bit anxious about avoiding the virus itself at the moment?
I have to be very, very honest. I got asked this question the other day, and it's not a case of I'm anxious of avoiding the virus. I'm not anxious at all. I have to accept every day for what it is. You know, unfortunately, we're on lockdown, and I say to myself, of course, I don't want to get another virus. I don't want to be ill again. You know, I hate being ill. But I have to take it for what it is. I have to be brutally honest. Once this pandemic's cleared up, being on immunosuppressants, you know, you could possibly pick up something else.
Sure.
So I have to try and accept it for what it is. Yeah, and I know this one has been violent on a hell of a lot of people. You know, we've lost a hell of a lot of lives through this pandemic. But then I actually do say to myself, Andrew, that's the way your life's going to be from now going forward. So you have to accept it and categorize it and then just try yourself to keep moving forward.
See, your life now is full of different battles.
It is. And I'll be brutally honest, I never, ever expected it to be so tough. I think that was me not showing the illness the respect that it deserved. I think that's me saying, oh, man up, get on with it. What's wrong with you? Yeah, you've gone through worse than things. Later on down the line, I've realised that how hard is this, by the way? Mentally, it's hard. Physically, it's hard. It takes a hell of a lot of toll on your body, knowing that you have to deal with this every single day. Plus, on top of that, you have your medication. As one does well for you, the other doesn't do well for you. It's a constant battle.
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this who can relate to the situation you're in, either themselves directly or they have a family member who is being shielded for whatever reason at the moment. And what are you doing? I know you're fairly limited in what you can do, but what are you doing to try and keep physically active in the lockdown situation that you're in at the moment?
At the moment, I'll end up doing a half an hour session. So one of the YouTube stations, you know, the have a session or whatever. After that, you know, whatever takes my fancy, you know, to try and stay on the move or just to try and keep the brain ticking over. That's the tough part, because like I said, whatever I end up doing, if it's early on in the day or late on in the day, it's still going to be the same thing. It just depends when I'm going to put it off to, or if I'm going to put it off till tomorrow or whatever. So it's just trying to juggle.
Are you feeling it's a bit like Groundhog Day at the minute, and you don't know how long it's going to go on for?
It is 100% Groundhog Day. That goes without saying. But we have to do the best with the circumstances we have. And that's what I'm trying to tell myself now. No matter how difficult it gets me at times, you know, I've got to work with the circumstances I have. You know, hopefully they'll get better over the next couple of weeks or before that, but small steps. Small steps. Some days, like I said, are better than others, but I've still got to try and make those little small steps.
You can only really affect what's in your control at the moment, and clearing up a global pandemic with the best will in the world probably slightly out of your hands at the moment, isn't it? And all of us, really.
It certainly is. It certainly is. I'm not the only one in this position. There's going to be people worse off, people better off, and whatever it may be. We have to take it day by day. You touched on it there. So it's a global thing. You know, we're not going to wake up tomorrow and everyone's going to say, okay, there you go. Let's everyone go back to work and crack on with your life again. Normal. For me, I've not had a normal life for the last 5 years. When people talk about going back to normal, I don't think we'll be going back to normal for some time.
How do you try and keep your mood up, though? Because obviously things are difficult. There must be ways that you keep yourself happy. What do you look to?
It depends. I speak to my friends a lot. I was laughing the other day. As a man, you know, we don't really spend too much time on telephone speaking to each other. You know, we might send a message or don't speak to each other for a couple of weeks or whatever. So I was on the phone the other day with my mate for a couple of hours, and I come off the phone and I said to myself, wow, you've been on the phone for 2 hours. You know, that never happens. That never, ever happens. You know, and that made me feel so much better to know that, yeah, that's a change in itself. Knowing that you've got to speak to people now. You have to speak to people on the telephone. You can't, like, go a couple of weeks like we usually do and, you know, we send a message or we message each other. We have to talk. That's where society has changed so much. You know, no one really talks like that. It's always a message or whatever. So I really enjoy that. So those are the things that keep me going. You know, my pal's always calling me, Zoom chats and all those kind of things. They're inspiring me. Just to keep going. You know what I mean? You'll be good. Yeah, and yeah, of course it makes me feel better. You know, but when the sun comes out and you want to be out there, you know, it's difficult. You know that you can't go out there. You know, you watch the sun come out and then you watch it go down. I mean, as a day, you've seen a day pass and you've not really contributed to the day in any way.
It's tough. And I think especially being on your own, because I think, you know, many people might have either housemates or obviously their family as well living with them. But I think being on your own in your house for the day is definitely the tough end of it.
Yeah, it is. And I said to my pal as well the other day, I think this, for me personally, this sets me up for bad habits again. I'm not the loudest individual in the world anyway. I started to come out of, I mean, not talking about what I was going through and, you know, just talking and trying to talk things through and listening and that. And this sets you up for bad habits when you're by yourself, because ultimately you end up saying nothing to anybody. So people say, how are you today? You say, yeah, I'm fine, knowing deep down inside, oh, man, today, what a horrible day I've had, you know? So I'm hoping that I don't take the quietness, once it's all over, back out and not want to talk about what I've been through for possibly, like, this is my 7th week now. Mm. What's happened the last 7 weeks? And I don't want to be set back in that position again, you know? Because that'd be a real tough position for me if I set myself back like 7 weeks after going forward so far. Even if some days I don't want to talk about my illness, like, from the day I've had the illness, I've told everyone I hate it. Some days I don't want to talk about it, but some days, you know, people kind of like force it out of me to talk about what I'm going through now, and it does make me feel better.
And what do you think you've learned about yourself and the world in general to take from this time when it's all over? Because one day it will be, and we'll be able to get out there and do something. It might not be very soon, but one day that day will arrive. What will you take with you into the future?
Oh, for me personally, in the future, I would take it forward, yeah, but of course, you can do it, Andrew. You can do it, but mentally, you can't do it by yourself. You know, physically, you can't do it by yourself. So I know those are kind of changes I've always wanted to make going forward due to this illness. You know, I know I can't do it, you know, talk about it and make someone help you get to the point whereby you're comfortable in what you're doing. Everything else, man, if this don't change us all as individuals going forward, we'll never change. We'll never change because we have to change as people now. To all that, what we've been through, I mean, as a country, what we go through as individuals, families, or whatever, we have to each look at ourselves and say to ourselves, how we were living before, was it conducive to what we really wanted? And I think a lot of people come out of this and say, no, I have to change the way I live, the way I show love to my family, all those kind of things, the way I show love to normal Joe Bloggs who live next door to me. Because tomorrow's not a given. And the pandemic we've gone through, I think people have realised just how much they miss certain things in their life now, whereby we were so flippant before, we would just get on with it.
You're listening to the Kind to Your Mind podcast. I'm Ian Brannan, and joining us on this episode is Andrew Cole, who you will know as one of the greats of the English football game. You've recently launched a new fund called the Andy Cole Fund, which is following on from your kidney illness. Tell us about that, because it's a fairly recent thing to be launched.
Yeah, it is. I've been speaking with Kidney Research regarding getting involved for some time, over a year now. They thought it was a great initiative, and then me sitting down thinking about it and come to the conclusion that if I could possibly help someone else not find themselves in the position that I find myself in, I'd love to do it. Now, if that is a case of raising funds or raising awareness to just how difficult it is to go for a kidney transplant and, you know, kind of like start your life over again. So being able to go to the transplant games and to be around so many people who have got the same illness as me or worse than me, you know, to spend time in their company and listen to how they felt. They felt exactly the same way that I felt, but yet, you know, they start to get through it, you know, with help, you know, talking about the situation. And I felt myself there sitting there talking with everyone, you know, and all the emotions were exactly the same. And I said to myself, wow, I am still someone. Yeah, I've got a disease for the rest of my life, but I am still an individual who can still aspire to do so many different things. You guys inspire me. And they all tell me, I said, no, the inspiration they gave me that day was phenomenal. And to speak to them and the guys who were fortunate enough to try and were going to go to the World Cup this year, but it got cancelled. To speak to those guys playing football and that, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal for me just to listen to their story. It's the same story told in a different way. So I decided then, of course, I want to get involved. I want to try and help.
You mentioned there the transplant games. Do you think that you would like to get involved through a footballing side in some way in that in the future?
I've thought about it. Some days I say yes. Some days I say no. But I genuinely believe I will, you know, because if I'm trying to inspire people, they've inspired me, of course I've got to do it. Of course I have to try and do it at some stage. I think it's more being wary of it, trying to understand it a little bit more. But yeah, I can't see why not moving forward, just to get involved in the banter, the laughter, and, you know, enjoying the company of people in the same position as me.
I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? Because you're used to a team sport. You haven't taken part in an individual sport. Through your whole life, you've been part of a team. And now finding yourself in isolation, that is the difference, isn't it?
It is. It is. In team, there's me. You know, and that's what I keep saying to myself. There's no I in team. There's me in team. And I being in this position I'm in, you know, I've had time to reflect on all that. And I've always said to myself, Andrew, you've always been a team player. So now you find yourself in this sticky position whereby you're isolated by yourself. Yeah, of course it's hard.
In terms of well-being, have you received some great advice that has really helped you?
What I've taken on board now is, you know, whatever it is, Andrew, you have to talk it out. And in men, that's the most difficult thing ever, is to talk about a situation or what you're going through. It's as if it's a sign of weakness. You know, I can't talk about this situation. If I talk about this situation, that I'm vulnerable. You know, and if I'm vulnerable, yeah, someone knows my weak spots, or no, I'm weak in this situation. I'm weak. And I've been like that for the longest time. You know, no, I can't, I'm not going to do it. But the more I spoke about it, I don't look at it as a vulnerability anymore. I look at it as trying to help myself, trying to help myself get to a better place, you know, trying to help myself feel more confident in what I have as an illness and the possibilities of it happening again.
And if someone told you that they were struggling with their mental health now, for any men particularly listening to this, who are maybe finding things a little bit more difficult than normal at the moment, how do they start the conversation, do you think? What would be the way to handle that? And what would you say to them?
Believe in yourself. I think it's a case, you have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in the individual that you're going to open up to. You have to. I mean, because ultimately, if you don't believe in yourself, or you don't believe in the individual you're going to open up to, you know, it becomes a problem. And I do understand why men don't go to, i.e. their girlfriends or wives or whatever. It's a conversation that in some ways could end up in an argument or a disagreement for whatever reason. The way someone portrays what you try to get out, you might not articulate the way you want to articulate it, you know, and they're not prepared to hear it that way. So I think if you do go prepared to do it, you go to a counsellor, you can get everything off your chest. Because ultimately, when it comes to a counsellor, you try to get everything off your chest. They don't give you no solutions. But ultimately, when you go there and you get things off your chest, it makes you actually feel better knowing that someone's prepared to listen to you. Gives you no questions, might give you a few scenarios and what about this and what that happened or whatever, but you actually do feel a lot better. So for me personally, if I'm going to give anyone advice, be more than prepared to go out and speak to a counsellor. Why not?
Well, thank you, Andrew, for your time, and all the best for the future.
Thank you very much.
Inspiring words from Andrew Cole. Thanks to him for joining us on the Kind to Your Mind podcast. It's in conjunction with your local councils and the NHS in Cheshire and Merseyside. We always love hearing from you, so please leave us a comment and don't forget to hit subscribe and rate the podcast. For more information, visit kindtoyourmind.org, where you'll find lots of information and resources, including top tips from the Every Mind Matters campaign and ALMA, an online wellbeing portal for those living and working in Cheshire and Merseyside. See you next time on Kind to Your Mind. Goodbye.